listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Lord be having mercy on my soul. I'm having the impression that my life gonna be a bowl of cherries, but it's very hard for me to cope. Got tired of being broke. This ATL ain't got no time for to sit and mope. Made up my mind while y'all made up y'all beds. On the cold wooden floor is where I laid my head. Born in 1975, never thought I'd make it this far. Still battling in this racial war, trying to find solutions to the situation I'm facing. Only thing that's free is my flow that y'all be chasing. Let my niggas know before I drop that knowledge, like dropping books. Let's stop the crooks from robbing you or your brains and such, using welfare as a crutch. I'm in it for your good. I'm in it for good. You into my hood, you won't be finding much hope. That's when I'm gone. Y'all remember this, what we wrote, what we stood for. Fuck that flame, fame and that glitz. It's beginning to look a lot like the ending, and got it to be more careful because the corners that you be bending, revelations getting impatient, and now I'm dead. Remember what I said, I'm gone by your head. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and so it's morning time.
Yes, the Black Guy Tips in the morning.
Ding.
I know, right?
But yeah, we are
I know, but like this, on your afternoon drive,
morning drive,
oh no, I'm sorry, morning drive. Mm-hmm. You know, for some of you, if you eat early lunch, this is like your pre-lunch time. You know, for a lot of you, you've been at work for a few hours, and we want to be here for your midday morning jam. So mm-hmm. We want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy us while the boss is being hard on you today.
Yeah, watch out for that traffic coming up for lunch. We're gonna have your traffic on the ones. Mm-hmm. Weather's on the tens. Okay. Yep,
you know how we do.
I'll make sure that we get you guys there safe, and you're gonna continue to still have a good time and be able to jam out. Mm-hmm. Because we are coming to you in the middle of the day. All right. Don't forget that the show is also sponsored. That's right. Show is brought to you by Triangle Wine Company, fine wine and craft beer store. It has a huge selection from all over the world for every budget. Okay, we're gonna talk about a lot of white people news today. You know, now it's a little too early for us to be drinking our wine, but I may have slipped some into my coffee.
Yeah, you did.
I may have slipped a little something in there. From well-known brands to rare finds, from small producers, shop online and have your order shipped, or swing by tasting bars in their stores in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, where you can sip while you shop. We're going to be in that area today, so mm-hmm. Maybe we'll sip while we shop. I don't know.
I'm trying to tell you.
Visit TriangleWineCo.com to compare their competitive prices and save 10% on your order of regularly priced wines and beers with offer code TBGWT through the end of October. So, like, today is the last day to get this, y'all.
Today is the last day, y'all.
Like, don't fuck this up, man. Y'all get in there and get this, you know, get this wine. Get your wine on, is what mm-hmm. we're trying to say.
And they fit all types of budgets. I know a lot of people go, my budget tight. And they like, look, we got tight budget. We got balling budget. We got non-alcoholic budget.
Mm-hmm. Wines and ales and beers, they got everything. Like, literally,
if you can think about it, it's probably there.
The hardest thing about going to their site is literally trying to get the fuck off of there, because it's so many choices. You'll be shopping forever. So TriangleWineCo.com, and we'll get back to them a little later in the show as well. But of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Let's go ahead and get into all the stuff that we want to talk about, the news and everything.
Okay, but
before we do that, yes. Let's let Karen have a moment of Karen. Go ahead.
Yes, a moment of Karen. Yes, I know tomorrow we have a guest, and you know, for those of you that ain't been keeping track of that, after that we off a week, so y'all better enjoy these last two shows, because I'm gonna be going out of town. I'm going to Jamaica, and I'm excited, and I wanted to, since it's just me and you, I didn't want to tie this time up with a guest, since it's just me and you, there's some things I wanted to say. For me, I didn't realize how unorganized I was, because I don't wear pajamas, y'all. So I was like, hey, I'm be going out of town, I'm gonna have to get pajamas. They're having a pajama party. I was like, hey, I might need some pajamas. So I didn't want to be uncivilized, and so I bought some pajamas, and they are so cute. So mm-hmm. I had to buy pajamas, You know, I've been losing this weight trying to get trying to be your latest fine auntie. Hey, fine aunties out there. Hey, body roll. So I've been running and stuff, trying to get all fine and in shape, you know, getting my blood pressure right, you know, cholesterol in check so I could be around with Layla for a while. So I was thinking about bathing suits, because I was like, well, I'm gonna be at the water, I want to get me some bathing. I had bathing suits, but they was a while ago, and this is when I was taking swimming classes with the old ladies. Well, not old ladies swimming classes, but we did underwater exercise with the old ladies. So everybody in the class was like 60 and up. I don't care. We all was getting it in there and breaking out sweat in the water. So I hadn't had a swimming suit in a long time. So I was like, well, let me get some swimming suits. So I ran across something called a tankini. Those are the best things. I'm old, so I didn't know what the hell a tankini was. I was like, what the hell's a tankini? Because I didn't want to wear like a two-piece bikini, and I don't mind wearing a whole piece, but these were cute. They come with, like, you know, some of y'all might know this, but you know, this is the one with Karen, so y'all gonna listen to my world today. So it comes with like tops and bottoms. Oh my god, y'all, they are so cute, and they got like little frillies on it, and like top and like little bottoms to match. And honey, I'm gonna be cute, y'all. I feel like this. I'm gonna be cute. I'm gonna be fabulous. I think I want one piece. And shout out to Amazon Prime, cause honey, they've been on it. So I've been ordering Amazon Prime, and they've been sending my little tankinis and my pajamas and stuff. And shout out to Roger, because he's the real MVP, because I've just sent him a list of stuff and he orders it for me. So shout out to you, baby. You the real MVP, because you the one keeping me organized. Because like I said, and I think out of all the years we've been married, this might be the longest period of time that I've been away. Yeah, that I've been away. So I'm still looking forward to the trip, though, and it has been a fun ride. Y'all heard about the passport stuff, honey. That's been an adventure and a half, getting all that stuff together. And I am so excited about my trip. I went online, y'all, and I was reading about traveling and stuff like that. So I got me like a travel protected pocketbook, you know, cause I got pocketbooks, y'all, but they like suitcases in themselves. I was like, nah, I gotta get something small, gotta get something cut proof, you know, gotta get something glued to my body. So I got me like a smaller pocketbook that I could put everything in. This pocketbook neat, y'all. This pocketbook got like a little a carrying thing on the side for my water. I was like, yes, what pouch, come on through. So I'm excited, y'all. I am happy and I'm excited. And when I do post pics, I'm gonna be living my best white woman life. Y'all think Roger is too much. I'm gonna be way too much. It's gonna be pictures of my toes, pictures of the beach, pictures of me and my tankinis and my pajamas. It's gonna be a whole lot of me. So, you know, if you don't like me, you just gonna have to be upset, because it's gonna be me on Instagram, Snapchat, wherever else I'm at. So I am happy, y'all. I'm excited about my trip. I really am. And it's gonna be all girls, no boys allowed. So I'm excited about this. This is gonna be my first all girls trip. So that's gonna be really, really, really fun. Women from all types of backgrounds. I'm excited to meet everybody. Oh, and for the first time, I get to meet Chonella.
Shirley.
So I'm excited about meeting Shirley, one half of Chonella podcast. So I'm excited about meeting her. My first time meeting her. She's been on my bucket list. So I am happy. I am excited. I wanted to share the joy with you, because like I said, I know tomorrow we're going to have a guest. So I was like, well, let me and get everything out while it's just me and you. So I just wanted to tell everybody about me going on my trip, and I'm excited, and I've been and getting new stuff and getting all jazzy. I think I need to get what'd you call that stuff, sunscreen, suntan lotion. Mm-hmm. not suntan lotion, sunscreen. Black people tan too. Black people get sunburned too. Then I've seen it, and it ain't pretty. So that's, I don't know what SPF, whatever them numbers is, I need to get, but I'll find out what I need to get, cause it's gonna be a lot of me and the sun being best friends, so I ain't trying to fry out there. So I definitely will get that. And I got me some water shoes too, so I'm excited about those for when I get to go out in the water. And I did give me some flip-flops. But other than that, I think I got basically everything else on my trip. So it's been fun getting everything together. It's been fun packing, you know, and all types of stuff. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. So if y'all just see social media blackout for me, that's why, because I'm be out of the country.
Yeah, and today we're going to see Living Color up in Raleigh.
Yes!
Get to meet them, see the show tonight, go to their concert. I'm looking forward to that. That's why we're doing the show early, for those of y'all that were asking, you know, why y'all gonna be doing this all the time? I don't know about all the time, but, you know, we were like, if we don't do the show early, y'all won't get a show today. Right. So, and last night I took the night off because I just could not even, guys. Like,
yeah,
I was just so
he been grinding.
I was just so through.
Hard.
Oh my God, you guys, you just like don't even know. You don't even want to know. But I had a good day though. I went out to because I missed lunch with Karen because I was playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And we for some reason they've been starting a little later, so we've been playing longer, so I've been missing lunch a lot more, but I still prefer to get the extra exercise. Mm-hmm. So I'll just stay and play till everybody leaves.
That's good.
But I missed lunch with Karen, but I went to Roosters. I don't know if you remember, we went there before. It's over by Cowfish, on the other side of Cowfish, where that Sushi Guru place is.
Ah.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we went in there. Anyway, I went in there, and nobody was in there. And I just ate.
You missed out on lunch crowd, right?
Yeah, I just ate, and I had a nice waitress. I think she could smell the pumpkin spice on me, because she was really, really nice to me. She was like, are you playing hooky? Or I was like, I work for myself, so I can eat whenever I want. She was like, oh, okay, that's good. And I was like, yep. And I was like, just in here just to get something to eat. So I had some tomato bisque soup that was so good.
Oh shit, I love a tomato bisque.
Mm-hmm. They had cups and bowls. I just got a cup. Mm-hmm. But it was so good, you know, for a it's getting chilly out here, guys. It's fall. We're finally starting to get a little bit of the crispness of winter. It's North Carolina, so it's not, you know, I'm sure wherever you guys are, you know, there's a lot of people who are a lot colder than us, so I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not complaining, but we're talking about for here, and it's almost hard to dress, because like when you wake up, it'd be like 30, you know, by the end of the day, it's 7, and you're like, shit.
Yeah, so I went and went in there, and, you know, I had some shorts on. Like, this is the second time I got caught off guard by the weather, but... I got my flu shot, so I'm good. But I went in there and had some tomato bisque, and they had some macaroni and cheese, and I had some calamari. I just ordered like 3 different appetizers just to try it with the soup, and it was all good, man. I had a good time. The waitress was super nice. I read some more of Ta-Nehisi Coates' new book, which apparently is a collection of essays he wrote for The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
But he also adds some personal anecdotes. It's like one essay for every 8 years that Obama was in office, and then he gives his personal like journey that he's gone on since those 8 years. And I went, like, I read the Bill Cosby chapter yesterday. I finished that. Man, that was crazy, because it's amazing how much I didn't realize Bill Cosby was so on that tour of the black people need to stop blaming racism and do their own thing. Like, I didn't know he was so, like, that was a whole tour of things. He was gonna put a hip-hop album out.
What?
Yeah, with no cussing on it. Like, it was a whole ordeal. And it ended up that the scandal with the sexual assault stuff started coming out on him, and then I guess that stopped all that shit after. And his NAACP comments were so unpopular that I think it really was a backlash, because there's a lot of black people that really do believe in that self-responsibility, black people are the own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. Racism,
right,
is not the problem that people say it is. We need to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, despite any odds systemically against us. And a lot of anecdotal, like, pull your pants up, don't rap, don't curse, don't say nigga, like that type of shit. And that is a heavy strain within the black community of thought. It's just something I've never really truly grasped.
Me either. And I think that, how can I say this? I think from my perspective, a lot of it is very generational. And also it's one of the things where, children are rebellious, and then once they get to a certain age and they realize the world is what the world is, they change that and kind of assimilate into society. And their way of quote unquote trying to protect the next generation is spilling the same bullshit that you were told. Because you've assimilated now. Once you've assimilated, you've bought into pull your pants up. You bought into don't wear dreads. You bought into don't walk out here with natural hair. Keep your hair relaxed. You've bought into this. You bought into being dressed a certain way in corporate America. You bought into only certain types of black people can make it in this white world. Like, you've literally bought into that, whether you want to believe it or not. Even if you haven't bought it for full in its fullness, if you picked up bits and pieces of it, you've bought into it. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes to you and the first thing you tell them is get a belt, pull up your pants, you're the problem. If you come to you and you don't like the way that they are dressed and you criticize them, you're the problem. And that's something that people don't want to admit to. If you see a young black mother with a child and instead of you encouraging her and helping her get help, you criticize her, you're the problem. You know, and those types of things that we as the people have bought into. Because the thing about it, when it comes to whiteness is able to be whiteness in all its forms. You have the rich white people and you got the rednecks, but at the end of the day is whiteness across the board. Black people aren't allowed to be whatever we are across the board. You know, if you bougie, be bougie and love it. If you're not, do that and love it without it being some form of a judgment against the other party, or you're not black enough, or you know, you can't be like me. And I have a major problem with that. And it's a problem when you talk to black people, because it's a lot of black people who actually mean well. That's the sad part about it, who have literally bought into this, and it drives me nuts. Because like you say, when you talk to them and you get down to it, y'all are actually on the same page, but they've just bought into the bullshit.
I think one of the things is, like, I struggle with this as well, which is this fine line between, where the criticism comes from, because I feel like we are all programmed by white supremacy. We're born into it. We may not benefit from it, but we're definitely born into it. We're born, and then, you know, various privileges people have and whatnot. But I struggle with it sometimes, because I always double and triple check my analysis of things, because there's never, people are not exactly black and white. They're not very simple. Most people are pretty complicated. And like you said, in many cases, people are well-meaning. And the understanding I have now is not something I always had. And the understanding I'll have later is not something that I, you know, that I can account for right now, you know. But there's certain things I feel like have been complicated by the fact that we live in a, where we're in a culture where we're afraid of the white gaze. So there are certain conversations that we have within our sphere that we wouldn't want everyone to be part of. There are certain statements you can make within to your family and friends that you can't make in a situation where people feel like white people are viewing you. And I think oftentimes we don't consider that in why we feel our ways, because I think if we examine why we feel a certain way, we get to the bottom of it. You know, for example, a great example to me is Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones is a complicated figure to a lot of black people, because she came to prominence via blackness. Like, it was black rooms, black comedy clubs. If you don't support her like that, then you probably just don't really fuck with black comedy like that anyway. But she earned her spot. Like, this was not a fluke or coincidence she earned her spot in a way that people did not think was necessarily possible for a 40 something year old black female, tall, dark skinned, loud black woman. And so in a lot of cases, I feel like people feel very insecure about the idea of her getting a job at SNL, being at Ghostbusters, because then she crosses over into a place where it's like, well, now white people are seeing her. And when white people are laughing, what are they laughing at? You know, Dave Chappelle, the infamous anecdote about the guy who saw him dressed up in like a bee costume or something and laughed, and he just didn't like the way that white dude laughed at him. Like, this dude, like, he's not in on the joke. Is he laughing at me? What, like, what's so funny right now? And it's that insecurity that we all have to live with. And so it doesn't mean that Dave Chappelle or Leslie Jones or whatever can never do something we disagree with or something that people might have a gripe with. But what it does complicate is like, well, when you see her getting trolled by Milo and all these people just because she's a black woman, to me, I have a hard time. I have a hard time being too critical of her or coming down on her or kicking her out of blackness because I'm uncomfortable with her, while knowing that that's exactly the same response that white people have when they see her that are racist. They want her gone, you know? So I still feel the same way I felt when she came up. I don't have any problem with Leslie Jones. I love her. I stand for her. I think she's fucking hilarious. But I empathize for the black people that have that insecurity about the fact that she has a spotlight on her and they now feel conflicted because white people are watching.
And
you know what I mean? That's the thing that happens with everybody. And I think it's a process, because I would like more people to get to where I am, where I don't give a fuck for the most part about how white people view us, because they're always gonna be racist,
right? And
they're like, we're never gonna win that battle. There's ever. No way we can act that would possibly
please them,
impress the white people who think we are inferior to them,
right?
So I just try not to worry about it, because it honestly doesn't matter what they think, you know, to a certain extent. Like this is a big one. Black people that hate when black people say the n-word. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I feel what you're saying, but you do realize there's never gonna be a time where collectively all black people stop saying nigga to each other. It's never gonna happen. So by leveling that against us as a critique, you're essentially demanding this superhuman effort from all black people, this superhuman solidarity in order to be respected. And it still will not progress us anywhere. Like, you won't get a job now because black people stop saying nigga. White people won't stop passing these laws against us because we stop saying nigga. They won't get us out of, it won't take us out of the prison industrial complex victim. Like, it won't, none of it's going to matter, but it might, I guess, make someone's esteem feel better that we're not doing, like, I don't understand, yeah. But it's this big ass head trip. And I felt like that's what I got from the Cosby thing. But it's deeper than Cosby. It goes all the way back, like, to Dubois and it goes Booker T. Like, it goes all the way back. Like, motherfuckers have been having this debate in blackness for so long, and that was one of the things I really liked about reading that Coates part about Cosby, was the historical context of that discussion in the black community about respectability versus self-reliance versus all that other shit. I really did, and each way they both get eroded by white supremacy anyway, so I just try to undo that thinking within me, but it's very hard.
Yeah, it is. It's something that's very hard and very difficult, because black people as individual have to do themselves, and we've all have been raised from different backgrounds. We all have different experiences in life, be it with family and friends and connections and our relationships with white people and our relationship with other black people that help mold a lot of these viewpoints, be it good or bad, that we've kind of formed into adulthood. And yes, it's very hard to get to the point where you gotta put like this: black people will never be completely free until they don't care about white people think, because once black people really get to the point where they don't care what white people think, that's when a lot of things will move forward in the country.
Yeah, I just think it's so deep though, Karen, like even on some even the idea that we have to have this unity, that I need all black people to think like me, that you're less black if you don't, even that shit is difficult. I mean, because there's a line for me, like there's certain shit where I see black people say and I'm like, oh fuck that nigga, like that's the most, especially if it's some anti-black shit or homophobic shit or, you know, like some worshiping white people type shit, like I have it in me to be like, fuck them, they are divorced from what I consider to be blackness, they are forever a piece of shit and I'll never fuck with them. Because I don't think like loving black people has to be some like, and it's nothing, we can't ever do anything wrong, you know, right. And Cam Newton says females, I'm like, that's wrong, it, you know, but I don't kick them out of blackness, but at the same time that shit was wrong. Bill Cosby being a rapist, he can go, I'm not defending him because he's black, you know. So there's a line to all this shit, but you know, Jason Whitlock, every day he goes on TV and makes money demonizing black people, demagoguing black culture, and then getting a pat on the back from white people. Like, he makes his money doing that. I can't ever respect that. But then there's other shit where it's like, this black person, is, a politician. Fuck that nigga, da 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 da. Doesn't matter what they do. Right or wrong, they gotta go. This black person is a comedian and I don't like so many jokes, them motherfuckers, that out of blackness gotta go, you know, like it's just certain shit where I'm like, man, there's this animosity in us that pushes us apart from each other. And I feel like that is part of, that is white supremacist thinking, because it is very much like you're more disposable because you're black and I disagree with you, as opposed to people that I know won't be able to be, we can't get rid of them, you know. So like Kevin Spacey can't be gotten rid of. So essentially he will forever and always be around. But we might can get rid of a black person that does the same thing. Now this is not to say we should protect both. This is to say there's this there's something within us that makes us be protective of that black person, because we know that equal and opposite treatment isn't there, you know, as opposed to saying no, white predators should be gotten rid of too, as opposed to saying like when it's for example, let's say who said some fuck shit lately, Van Jones, remember how people did Van Jones last year? Well, it was like, he gotta go, fuck him forever, he's done, I don't like him, he's talking about we need to be nice to these Trump voters, or he gave Trump credit for being presidential in a speech one time. And I was just like, wow, that, so erase everything Van Jones has ever done, because I don't know that that's enough for me personally to be like, fuck Van Jones, this nigga, da 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 da. But we are very, like, there's an anger, I think, that for what has been done to us, that makes us kind of turn on each other. Like I said, it's certain shit, I think there's lines where I would guess we should all kind of have, like, when someone's an abuser, when someone doesn't respect the humanity of others, when someone's a homophobe, transphobe, those type of things, where I'm like, we should be able to get together on that, right? But then there's other shit where it's like, you know, Chrisette Michelle singing at the fucking inauguration, which I thought was fucking stupid. But at the same time, I that's what your dumb ass believe. Like, you believe in a God that says turn the other cheek and hug everybody and it'll work out. I don't believe in any of that shit. But I don't feel like, well, now you gotta go from blackness right for that. But I think that's a strong part of our culture, and it's like I said, I'm still working through it, but it feels like part of that even comes from white supremacy of this, like, whoop, you're no good to me, bye, you know?
Correct. And a lot of it, out of the hurt and the pain of generations, a lot of this is a form of self-protection. A lot of people right. do this as a way to protect themselves, because a lot of people, they're tired of being hurt, they're tired of being disappointed, they're tired of dealing with the bullshit on their job, they're tired of dealing with the shit coming out of Washington, like they're just flat tired. So, and like we said before, it's a lot of angry people in this country all across the board, and because a lot of people feel like they have no control, any little thing that pops up that they can give their opinion on, they'll give it, and it is going to be so over the top. And that over the topness is not because the situation is that important. It's because they angry about other shit.
I think, yeah, that's a huge, I think also there's a power in anger that we just don't have in other areas.
Right.
And definitely self-protection, like you brought up. Which is why I don't really get mad at the detractors of people. Like, there's been many times on this show where I see people, you know, where we cover something, I'm like, yeah, I mean, if you think Don Lemon a coon, what the fuck I'm gonna say, right? Like, I understand your reasoning because you're a human being too, and we not perfect, like perfect Vulcans of logic. Like, we are emotional as well. We see shit and we go, like your feelings of betrayal and anger are valid too. Chrisette Michelle's people that feel betrayed by her, that's valid too. Like, they're not wrong to feel a betrayal from the fact that I supported your black ass because we were supposed to be in this together, and then the second you can get a check from the inauguration or whatever the fuck, you're like, I'm out, I'm gonna go praise Trump, send him love, and I'm gonna be the one to change things. And like, but then he don't want to meet you after the inauguration, he don't ever call you, you know.
Yep.
And then when your fan support dries up among black people, who especially black women, who 94% voted for Hillary Clinton, that did vote, like, you have to look back and be like, okay, that was a tactical mistake, but I also still, I guess, and maybe it's just something I struggle with, but I also still feel empathy for her because I'm like, I don't know if you saw all that coming or deserved all the shit that you got over the fact that you stepped out of step with blackness for the one time in your career or life, you know?
Right. And my thing, and this is also something that kills me, and why, in my opinion, why a lot of black people are very, very reluctant to strike out and be bold and start their own, because black people don't allow black people to fucking fail. They don't allow them to make errors publicly. They don't allow them to make mistakes publicly. They act like everybody that goes forth has to be motherfucking perfect, and you have to do exactly what they want to do, or else they kick you out.
Okay, I don't want to go that far, because I think we do allow people to fail sometimes, because we also had a protection of blackness.
Correct.
Sometimes to the point of why I think it's almost like enabling.
Yes, it can.
You know
be
what I mean?
Times.
Like there's, like I said, it's just not, there's not this imagined solidarity there. Like,
right. And I've seen it both ways. Know, that's why I said that.
Right. We've seen people that have been completely fucked up.
Right.
And people still be like, but they black though. I gotta go give them my money. I gotta support this, because what happens if they not there? You know. So, and I definitely don't believe in that either. Like, you know, like if I support you, it's not just because you black. Like, if you get my dollars, it's because you do something well. Period. Like, it's no such thing as just this motherfucker is terrible for everybody, but you know what, gotta give support a black man. Some people do that though.
Yeah, they do.
So I'm not even trying to say like there, I'm sure there's people that still support Chris. Of the people who support Chris at right now, I guarantee you it's none of the white people that applauded her for the inauguration, and it's probably some of the black people that, even as they like folded their arms and went, really, they're probably the only people left in her corner, which would make, that's why it's so tragic to me, the whole thing. You know, it's always tragic when people do that. But yeah, that's what that article made me think about, is that schism in the black community. Mm-hmm. And just how long it's been there. Cause like,
forever.
I mean, this shit went all the way back to like right after slavery. I mean, Coates is an amazing writer. He's real research. And he's able to see certain connections that I do find amazing. So yeah, I thought it was, so far it's been a good read. That's what I did yesterday. I finished Angela Y. Davis's book. That was also a great read. It's a collection of speeches that she gave, mostly, so kind of like the Coates thing, where it's like these are articles he's written and he's adding personal anecdotes. It was interviews and speeches that she gave. Same thing, man. She's an amazing mind. I marvel at just how she's able to connect everybody's struggles, because I feel that way. Like, everybody's struggles are connected.
Yeah, they are.
And if we can see each other through our struggles, then I feel like there's a humanity and a empathy there that can combine efforts and make shit change. But if we can't do that, if we can only see our own and be like, fuck everybody else, then I feel like that's just why shit stays the way it is. And I understand people that do that, but that's kind of why shit stays the same.
Correct. And I think for me, particularly after the election, now I'm in a better place. because initially after the election I was very, very mad and very angry and bitter and sad and depressed, like a lot of black people are. And that's something that a lot of black people will never get over, that hurt, that anger, that betrayal, you know, because there's a lot of betrayal, particularly with a lot of black women when it comes to white women. And that solidarity is only for you, but it never goes my way, mm-hmm. type of shit. And
also historical, right? Also right back to slavery, also right. Like forever we've had this shit,
right? And so that kind of goes down, yeah, because when you was talking about extending and looking at people as human beings and things like that, you know, I had to check my empathy, my sympathy. I had to check my heart for caring and extending out for a while, because I was so angry. I was literally like, fuck them, like literally fuck them all. And I was on that platform for a very long time. But also the thing is, the change has to come within them. I can't make them change. Mm-hmm. And the hard part is, I see them as human beings. The problem is, it's not reciprocated. And that's where the disconnect comes. And that's why we can't get a change in a lot of these things going on. Like, the thing is, truth be told, still fuck them articles that come out and talk about how these white people felt bad that they've been betrayed. But still, they're human beings. And they allow their racism to blind them. And the thing about it, racism is a hell of a drug. And racism will actually make you think that you have more power and more authority in your life than you do. It'll make you think that you're better than people around you, when in reality you're not. You're actually average or below average. But racism gives you this illusion that you are better than these brown people, particularly lower to middle class white people. It gives them that illusion, and they drink that water. And because they drink that water, it causes so many problems in our society. Because at the end of the day, most white people and most black people are on the same boat. We're actually on the same boat. But because you've been tricked by racism and whiteness, you believe in your heart that you're better, your children's better, your children are better, and that's part of the problem.
Well, I don't think you think we're in the same boat for a lot of stuff, because generational wealth and stuff like that they've had advantages of. If we're in the same boat, most of us, they're at the part that drowns last.
Correct.
But they will let the boat drown as long as we go first. Yes. You know, I struggle with that too, because but it's not really about them, because I do think, for the most part, white people are trash, and like the best version of white people is mostly useless because of white supremacy. Like, they right. It's not like they woke up and was just like, I'm gonna be useless today, but mm-mm. Like, even the well-meaning white person is gonna still have problems, you know. Well-meaning men, I'm a well-meaning man, but I'ma still have certain shit I can never grasp, or I don't get it instantly because I've never experienced certain things, right. Or I'ma struggle with certain shit because I'ma identify with a man without thinking about it, because that's what I've been taught my whole life. Like, programming is a motherfucker.
Yes, it is.
What I think is, for me, and this is just speaking for myself, is I just don't want to live in constant anger.
Right.
I just don't want to live that way. I don't want my existence on this earth to have been one where I didn't get to embrace joy. I didn't get to relax. I didn't get to, I mean, like, it's a running joke at this point, but to a certain extent, like, this stuff about the Uggs and the pumpkin spice and all that shit, it really has made a difference in my life, because I really do enjoy myself. Like, it's funny, it's silly, but I'm also just being like, oh man, like, I'm just gonna think about me today. Like, I'm not gonna, today is not the day where I'm gonna just snap the action on everything. Today is not a day where I'm gonna, you know, go out and look for articles and shit that's gonna piss me off. Like, today I'm taking a day for me. Or you know, there's only so much I can do, let me calm the fuck down, you know, certain things like that. But it is little things that you get to enjoy sometimes, and that shit is a privilege too, you know. Being seen as a human being is a privilege, all that shit in our society. But yeah, the my personal, like, growth and shit is not something that I find, when I'm angry, I normally end up doing things I regret, or saying things I don't mean, or or just cutting off emotions that would enrich me, cutting off experiences that would enrich me, because I'm too angry. I'm like, I don't want to do that shit. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to read anything. I don't want to communicate with you. So I've been trying to kind of let that shit go. But I mean, because we're black and in America, we'll always be angry. It's like being the Hulk. You know what I mean? Like, you're never not angry, truly. But there's a part of us that I feel like we almost have, you know, we deny it as human beings. We get denied it. I think that's why we die sooner in a lot of ways. Yes, sir. Cases.
Heart attacks.
I think that's why our health is worse in many cases. I think, you know, it compounded by the fact that we don't get the same care, that we don't have the same resources, all that shit. But then part of that shit is just like, I don't know, it's like these boxes we get trapped in. So but yeah, none of this is on the topics, but whatever. But yeah, I think that anger that especially probably all of us have since 2016 election, and some way before that even, I feel like it's intoxicating. Cause it does make us feel powerful. Like, what makes us feel more powerful than being like, I'm gonna cancel so-and-so today? Or fuck your fave, y'all trying to let so-and-so do. Nothing makes us feel more powerful than saying that shit. But at the end of the day, a lot of times it's inept. Like, we're not able to actually get that thing canceled. We're not able to make so-and-so stop being people's fave.
But temporarily.
But we feel powerful in that moment because we like yelling at everybody, you know?
Correct.
And that is a powerful feeling, but, and we all go through it, but at the end of the day, the human condition is that most people will not be motivated to change something like that. Sadly, sadly, the thing I've seen change things the most in my life is guilt. You know what I mean? People feeling bad. You know, this purge of white Hollywood, it's all about men finally feeling some type of bad way about being bad people. When you look at civil rights laws and shit, it's all because white people are feeling bad. You know, like, oh wow, look at us on TV putting sicking dogs on these black children. Okay, that now I feel bad. What can we do? Can we vote on a thing? Can we pull a statue down? Like, it's not a significant change, but I feel like that's mostly where the shit comes from is guilt. You know, anger doesn't last long enough to really affect true change because people can't always stay angry. Anger's a flash emotion. It's not a constant emotion. You know, when I think about anger, you know, even with the Civil War, right? Like, they fought a whole Civil War. There was only somewhat level of equality for black people in the South for 8 years before they were like, segregation. No. I'm not mad at these people that we killed anymore. I'm not mad at them for defecting from the country anymore. I'm not mad at them about trying to secede. I'm not mad at them anymore. Because anger don't last that long. Like, as soon as the fight's over, you're like, okay, how can we make up? And you know how they make up? By putting black people in subjugation again. Like, anyway, I think about that shit personally, not just from a countrywide standpoint, but I'm like, I want to be resolute beyond just being angry.
Correct. And also, something, particularly with all the things that's been happening, you know, since the election. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I know you talked about, you know, you and your white woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even gonna lie, it's y'all, it's kind of contagious, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because
she was joking, but now she be eating my pumpkin spice Cheerios, y'all. Oh,
them fucking spice Cheerios is flame emojis.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want some of this pumpkin spice coffee with this pumpkin spice Bellas in it?
Ah, shit, I might. Everybody said, you know, I don't even drink coffee, dog.
Don't take a sip.
I said, it might be good.
Tastes like a milkshake. Traced it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good.
See what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's delicious, dog.
The shit is real. The shit, look, white women stumbled on something with this pumpkin spice, and y'all can be mad at me if y'all won't. I see the little snide comments on my page, but let me tell you something. I'm over here living my best life, okay? And the jealousy, oh,
that is,
and the insecurity I see coming at me on social media, why don't you spice up your life? Try it. See if I'm wrong. See if I'm wrong. I went into the ABC store to get this pumpkin spice alcohol, and the man behind the counter came from behind the counter and helped me find pumpkin spice alcohol, y'all.
Oh, shit!
That's what I'm talking about. Never happened to me before in my life.
I don't know. You wander around for hours and they won't even mess with you.
I don't know if it was the Uggs. I don't know if it's the pumpkin spice lotion. I don't know. But all I know is, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Y'all seen that Eddie Murphy skit where he was white in makeup? Maybe it's like that. I don't know. That shit, I've never had that shit happen to me before. Dude would say, hey, can I help you find something? I was looking around like, who the fuck is he talking to? I was like, well, actually, I'm looking for the Crown Royal or the pumpkin spice. If y'all got anything with pumpkin spice in it. He was like, oh, we don't got that pumpkin spice Crown Royal, but we do have pumpkin spice Baileys. And I was like, well, show me where that's at. And he took me to the corner and everything and asked me about my day. I'm surprised
they got a pumpkin spice section.
It's amazing, y'all. I'm getting discounts at Target.
I'm trying to tell you.
They stumbled onto something. I think, you know, some of this jealousy, I got to let it go. Because if we can just camouflage ourselves in pumpkin spice for the winter and the fall, I'm willing to do it.
I'm trying to tell you, I've never owned a pair of Uggs. But, honey, my next thing on the wish list might be me some Uggs. So, I am looking. And, it makes you feel better. You know, it literally makes, I walk in the house and it smells like pumpkin. And your spirits get lifted no matter how, I know it might sound silly, no matter how my day been at work, and it is just really, really contagious. And it's something that I can tell it has actually made a change in the whole entire house. You know, I'm living my white woman life vicariously through you. And so, you know, I have really been loving it. Like, we went to that place where we got them whatever them chips was, it was delicious. I forgot the name of them chips, but them chips were delicious.
Oh, them New Orleans chips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, them New Orleans chips and all kinds of stuff. I had me a pork belly sandwich that was goddamn, all that sounds was so good.
I normally wouldn't even eat there, but I said, you know what? This looks super white on Yelp. I put on my Uggs and I went up in there. You know what? They were super nice to us.
They was.
We had kombucha. For the first time.
It was good. Mm-hmm. I had, lavender soda. It was actually pretty good. You had strawberry, then your raspberry, strawberry.
Strawberry soda. And something. It was delicious. So.
It was really, really good. And we.
Opened up my life to new experiences.
I'm trying to tell y'all, we've been trying all the little white folks spots in the middle of nowhere. And everywhere we've been has been really good. We went to this, little French place.
Amelie's,
but they still have like baguettes and all kinds. Oh, that breakfast was delicious.
Yeah, they had croissants listen, spice up your life.
Spice up your life, honey. Honey, use your Yelp app, Google me, whatever you have, and just be like, let me go try.
Because I know why y'all don't want to try it, black people. Okay, I know why. Because it's white, and we got some issues with white folks. And I understand, but I'm just saying, if you don't try something. Cause it's white. Think about all the shit you're gonna miss out in life. White people try to take everything. And low key, I would bet money it ain't even really white. Cause white people don't invent anything.
Come on, I bet it's probably some slave invented pumpkin spice back in the day and they was like, no nigga, you don't get credit.
We probably taking pumpkin spice back, but we don't recognize it without knowing. Okay? The same way I felt about rock and roll my whole life till recently. It was like, oh shit, niggas made this? Like, it's just, sometimes you just don't know. So I say go try you some pumpkin spice and find out. I'm just trying to help y'all help yourselves
right,
out. Pumpkin spice Oreos is good.
Oh, them, yes, they was. They were delicious. Spice
Little Debbie Rose was good.
Oh, them was good. Karen
finished the pumpkin spice wafers.
Oh, I waxed them off, nigga. You shouldn't have left. You shouldn't have left the bag open.
Mocking me for bringing them in the house and then ate them all.
Ate them all, nigga. Them were the best sugar wafers ever.
Pumpkin spice Cheerios is good. People sending me pictures of them trying PSLs. That's what we call pumpkin spice lattes, y'all.
Oh shit, I've never had a pumpkin spice latte.
Mm-hmm. They sending me pictures on Instagram and Twitter and stuff. Like, go live your life, man. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Come out the pumpkin spice closet, y'all. I was, I guess, you must have been doing too much pumpkin spice because I was scrolling down Facebook. You know, periodically they throw the ads in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I seen an ad that was like, pumpkin spice for Breeze. I was like, ooh, I might go buy this.
I didn't know they had that. I might have to get that.
It must have been, hey, you've been liking too much pumpkin shit. Here's some extra pumpkin.
I'm gonna go check Amazon for that. All right. Let's talk about news, guys. All kinds of news happening out here. I feel like we can skip fucking with black people today. No, you know what? No. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it anyway.
All right. You know me, I'm all about skipping that section.
Yeah. We'll speed through some of this, but we'll talk about it. I didn't know about this, but I saw it on my timeline today on Twitter. Apparently there's a woman that has accused Neil deGrasse Tyson of and it goes back a couple years, but because of the Me Too thing, it's getting attention now.
Correct.
You know, now she's not famous, I guess, so I guess you could make the argument that 2 years ago she probably had a hard time getting traction with this, but she had tweeted out a blog post about it. I hadn't even heard of it. Mm-mm. My black ass running in my black ass spaces surrounded by pretty much mostly black films, even I hadn't heard of it. I'm sure this is news to a lot of people listening to this right now,
right?
And he just hasn't even addressed it. Like, he's not answering questions about it. He's been asked about it on social media by journalists and stuff, and he's just not responding. I mean my thing is, if you didn't do it, I guess the only proper response is I didn't do it, but then I don't know how you prove that you didn't do something that
correct
you're, you know, like I don't have the answers, to be honest. I've never been, and hopefully never be, falsely accused of anything, period, you know. But at the same time, like, I don't know what you do if it's, I feel like the response if it's false is the same as the response if it's true.
Great.
People always just say I didn't do it. He was married at the time. He said she said she was a grad student. He went to they were both grad students at the University of Texas Austin in 1984. She made allegations back in 2014 and 2016, but because of the Me Too hashtag, people now are paying attention. And she just tweeted out hashtag Me Too, and it only got 15 retweets even till now. So that means,
wow,
you know, it's just kind of wild, because I feel like part of the Me Too thing that is frustrating for so many people of color is that it is very much about whiteness without speaking on directly on it. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're not gonna see white people necessarily pick this up and run with it. Now, I don't know what that says about the targets or the people that are the victims of sexual assault that are black, but or maybe it's just about being famous, because maybe if it was Gabrielle Union, people would feel differently, but I don't know. But there is a level to this of white involvement that is so powerful with Me Too that I feel like a lot of people have shrugged it off. A lot of black people, we have kind of shrugged it off because of that. She accused him of first drugging her with a Mickey before raping her. She tweeted this in 2016.
Ooh.
Linking to a blog post from 2014. She wrote, what would you say to my parents if I told them when it had happened that you had slipped me a Mickey and that you raped me when I was unconscious? What would you say to them now if they were still alive? What will you say to your wife, the woman that was on the phone as you handed me the water to drink in a cup of, I'm assuming, out of a coconut shell? It says a cow shell, but I'm pretty sure that's a typo. Do you have any idea how your act of violence affected my life, the lives of my parents, my ex-husband, my daughters, and anyone and everyone that has anything to do with me? She later tweeted that she once confronted him about it, but he was totally confused. Writer and author David McAfee has been trying to get Tyson to comment on the allegations, but so far nothing. And he's adding them on Twitter, like responding to stuff, and nothing from Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I don't know. Kind of like that Nelly thing when the thing first broke. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's not. I don't know. I don't know if there's physical evidence or like the fact that maybe they both knew each other there, or they went to the same school at the same time. I don't know, but it's kind of interesting that this accusation has been out there for at least two years that we know on the public record, and he's never said anything about it or had to say anything about it. So I don't know. And like I said, it's odd that she's a black woman and nobody gave a fuck until Me Too started.
Nobody.
You know? And even now, I would say that it's still kind of on the back burner of the Me Too shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else happened. Three engineers sue Uber over unequal pay, claiming sex and racial discrimination.
I believe them.
Man, Uber just got bad. Just everything. Like, they don't give a fuck, man. They just every week, just some shit.
is Uber the Florida taxi cabs?
Three Latina.
I mean, I know they're not taxi cabs, but you know, like a form of a taxi cab service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we was picking up what you was putting.
Oh, okay.
Three Latina software engineers are suing Uber for allegedly discriminating against women and people of color. Reuters reports that Ingrid Avendano, Roxana Del Toro Lopez, and Anna Medina filed a lawsuit on Tuesday in Superior Court of San Francisco. It claims that they were compensated less because of gender and race. Oh boy, that's not even drivers, that's
people that work in the corporate, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. According to Reuters, the lawsuit says Uber used an employee ranking system that's not based on valid and reliable performance measures and gave women, Latino American, Indian, and African American employees lower scores than men and white or Asian employees. In this system, female employees and employees of color are systemically undervalued compared to their male, white, or Asian American peers. Is still employed at Uber while the other two have left, and the three are being represented by Jahan Sagafi of Uten and Golden, a law firm that specializes in employee rights.
Mm-hmm. And they can still do this, but the laws they're trying to pass, they're trying to strip away employees' rights to get together like this and do like class actions, lawsuits and shit like that. Like, they're trying to get rid of that.
Uber stay in court more than the NFL.
Come on.
Like, them both of them motherfuckers stay in court on some bullshit. Just nothing to do with work. Just nothing but just, I guess I gotta go to Uber's lawyers must be so paid, dog. They must, like, do they do hourly billing or do they just have a lump sum? Cause Jesus Christ, man.
Mm-hmm. And you know, every time something like this happen, all that happen, you know that gif where like the dude is there and like a woman with the glasses come in the background like ooze her head in front of dude. Mm-hmm. That's what Lyft is. Every time Uber be looking crazy, Lyft be like, hey, y'all forgot about us,
right?
Every time you see a Lyft commercial, I mean Uber commercial, you see a Lyft commercial sneak his head in front of, hey, we here too, dog, you can use us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's see what else is happening here. CRISPR is a type of bacon where Chinese scientists said they have created genetically modified low-fat pigs.
No thank you.
No thank you. Low-fat pigs. You was just talking about losing weight, getting your numbers down. Someone takes the time to invent low-fat pigs. Not turkey bacon, not chicken bacon, not chicken sausage. They are whole ass type of pig made specifically to make your bacon a little bit healthier, and you say no. Is there a reasoning for this niggotry that I'm experiencing right now?
Yes, it is. Cause I'm a pig elitist. I like my pigs the way they supposed to be, greasy and tasting like pig.
Okay. That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I like my bacon. Center cut bacon. Thick cut bacon. Apple maker bacon or whatever else kind of bacon it is. Them pork bellies, what, I'm gonna have a low fat pork sandwich? No thank you.
Science is trying to bring health to your life and you can still keep the swine and you don't want to respect it.
I guess my question is this: how's it gonna taste? Are y'all gonna trick me like y'all do with y'all salt free ketchup? That shit don't taste like goddamn ketchup.
Yeah, but you at least tried it one time to see. You're not even planning on trying this. Come on, Cam.
All right, I'll try a piece.
You said yesterday you
come
loved
on. So calling them thugs, just call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
Just call them niggas, Karen. You said that you love BLTs yesterday.
I do.
And you wouldn't even try a low fat pig BLT. Wouldn't even try it. Not even a bite. What is that?
I will try a piece of bacon, but then you know it's all cuts of pig. So, are you gonna tell me I'm gonna get that same saltiness that I get from my bacon? That same?
I don't know. I had to try to see. They made 12 healthy pigs with about 24% less body fat than normal pigs. Scientists created low-fat pigs in the hopes of providing pig farmers with animals that would be less expensive to raise and would suffer less in cold weather. There's a big issue for the pig industry. It's pretty exciting. Animals have less body fat because they have a gene that allows them to regulate their body temperatures better than by burning fat. That could save farmers millions of dollars in heating and feeding costs, as well as prevent millions of piglets from suffering and dying in cold weather. They can maintain the body temperature much better, which means they can survive better in cold weather. And then we eat them.
Okay.
This is a paper that is technologically quite important, said Robert Michael Roberts, professor in the Department of Animal Sciences at the University of Missouri. He edited the paper for the scientific journal. It demonstrates a way that you can improve the welfare of animals at the same as improving the product for those animals, the meat.
I have to try a piece.
Well, okay. That's better than just, so I'll take it.
I'm right. I just refuse. You know, when we go to the fancy noodle place and I get my ramen with pork in it, I want it to taste like pork.
I don't know why you're assuming it wouldn't, but fine.
I don't know. When they, because when they cut something out, they substituting it in with something else.
Taco Bell is testing an unholy Kit Kat quesadilla in the U.S. New Kit Kat, it's only $1. I'm gonna have to try
they
this.
They want your money, $1.
How the fuck? First bite on social media reported by Brand eating the Chocodilla. Wait, Chocoladilla.
Not a Chocoladilla. Is it coming out for Halloween?
Is quite simply a quesadilla filled with bits of melted Kit Kat bars in place of cheese. Taco Bell tested the project in UK restaurants last fall before bringing it to the US earlier this month. Where in the US? How do I get my hands on this?
It's probably not. I guarantee you it's not everywhere. Not everywhere in the United States.
Yeah. Wisconsin Taco Bell.
Right. Yeah. They probably testing it. You know how they do the testing them small markets and then branch out. And you in Wisconsin, that's, you know, that's doing it in like a LA or New York or LA, you know, one of the larger cities.
There's no tea in Wisconsin, but yes, I'll make it at home. Well, actually, no, we're off eating Kit Kats like that. I apologize to the children already, so I'm not gonna try it. I'm gonna leave it alone, guys. You're welcome. Nobody at me about, don't do it. I'm not gonna do it. All right. You win, America. Y'all don't want to see a black man eat Kit Kats any other way that he want to. Apparently, I can only eat them the right way, like Master Tacha, one at a time. So I guess I'll just stop.
You eat your Kit Kats the way you want to eat them. You didn't offend me.
A lot of these Negroes all up in arms. Like I was adjacent with like a Kit Kats and shit. That's sad to see the white man programming y'all.
It's so many flavors of Kit Kat. Them strawberry ones are flames.
This is sad to see, but you know how it is. Black people keep turning on each other. All right, guys.
Pumpkin Spice Kit Kats, what's next?
You know, don't play. It's probably out there.
It probably
exists. Let's do some fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go around the globe. We find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 and end up with 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
My bad. I meant to stop that. Computer moving slow now. All right, let me see who's fucking with us today. Right, get back in here. Sorry, I had to close Firefox real quick because it was moving. It was freezing on me. But I know a lot of people are still going to be fucking with black people.
Yeah, that ain't never going to stop.
All right, let's see who we got on the docket. Here's one. Referees who walked off of a field at a New Jersey football game because they didn't like the protests of the high school kids who were kneeling for the flag. They have a history of racist posts on social media.
You don't say.
I for one, Karen, I'm shocked. You're not shocked? Okay, well, I guess I'm the only one who feels let down by these obviously white referees. An official who walked off the field in a protest Friday after seeing players from Monroe High School kneel during the national anthem made racial and insensitive comments on social media, but claimed his account was hacked.
We don't believe you.
Come on, so calling them thugs, just call them niggers.
Yeah, y'all had got together and decided this is the bullshit y'all was gonna do, but you didn't expect people to investigate you.
I mean, listen, receipts are it's a matter of life at this point. It's just a fact of life. If you do something fucked up, people are coming for the receipt. They're coming with the receipts for your ass, okay? And this is, you know, there's good and bad to it. Yeah, but this is one of those times where it's good to me. Fuck this nigga. On Facebook post from January 21st showing a picture of President Barack Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, Ernie Lunardelli wrote, "Yeah, thanks for fucking up the country. Back to the zoo." Back to the zoo, Karen. What does that mean?
Come on, so calling them thugs, just call them niggers. Just call them niggers.
I think that's what that means, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Just call them niggas, dude. On another Facebook, about President Donald Trump's inauguration, he also posted back to the zoo.
I hate slavery.
Meanwhile, his son and the other official, Anthony Lunardelli, described, it runs in the family, y'all. What y'all think he said? He described Giants quarterback Eli Manning as having Jew luck. Jew luck. Those lucky ass Jews. You guys know historically. Y'all ever just be like, man, Eli Manning just has the luck of a Jew with his interception throwing ass. That's what it is. Right in front of everybody's salad.
Right in front of my salad, doll. How dare you?
Ernie Lunardelli is 54. His son is 27. Anthony stood for the anthem and then abruptly left the field after seeing the Monroe players kneeling before the game against the Colts Neck Friday night. Colts Neck, that's the name of the team. All right. Ernie Lunardelli said he's against anyone disrespecting our country, our flag, and the armed forces, but disrespecting niggers and Jews, well, that's just life.
Come on.
Ernie told the New Jersey Advanced Media Sunday night that his Facebook account had been hacked.
So yeah, both was hacked then?
Right. And he did not make the comments. "I was hacked," he said. "I'm not a racist. My best friend is black." He lit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question. If you were hacked, why didn't you report this when these shits posted months ago?
Yeah, that's funny. You were hacked in January, and yet you did not admit to being hacked until the day after you walked out the field.
You ain't take it down. You ain't be like, "Oops, my bad."
It's a good point, Karen.
I don't believe you.
Maybe he was lying. Is that what you're trying to say?
What?
I mean, are you gonna accuse this man of lying? It seems like you are.
I would never do that.
Okay, because I'm just saying. Feels are you being sarcastic right now? Feel like you're being sarcastic. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Working the field.
That's part of that.
Senator, I'm a house nigga.
They asked him. That's what he said. "I was hacked. I'm not racist. My best friend is black. He lives in a condo I own. Whoa!
So you got slaves?
Right. He lives in a condo I own.
He's out there on a 40 acre.
Oh, I'm just a slave.
Yes!
Come on, man. He lives
in
a condo.
I'm just a slave. Just a slave out here for master."
Oh, man. Now I want to get a interview where we get a comment from his black friend who he owns his housing and see what he has to say about
slavery.
Oh, that's what he would say, I would assume. He says, "I don't know. Somebody put my picture on there. I have no idea. I don't know where this has come from. I don't know what to tell you. I never did anything." Mm-mm. Anthony, the son, didn't respond to a phone message seeking comment. Four players from Monroe have been kneeling for the national anthem for most of the season. So the refs did this as a stunt.
Right.
They knew that those guys were going to kneel and then they were going to walk off the field.
Right.
Just like Mike Pence did at the Colts game. Two of the players are black and the other two are mixed race. Ernie Lunardelli said he lives in Monroe and his son played football for the high school and graduated in 2008. Ernie Lunardelli said weeks ago he informed the officials assigner for the Middlesex Conference, Thomas Polakis, that he would walk off the field if any players knelt for the anthem before his games.
They were like, fuck you, this is what you assigned, do it. Mm-hmm. And if I was them, I wouldn't pay you. In fact, I would fire you. Do your job. Because now we got to go find backup refs.
So yeah, when he and the son witnessed the players kneeling Friday, they abruptly left the game. Darian Barnes, the coach of the opposing team from Colts-Nick, said Ernie Lunardelli turned to the Monroe players and shouted in their direction. Barnes also said the other official had to pull Lunardelli off the field. Ernie Lunardelli denied shouting at any players Friday. Oh, they just lie about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised you probably didn't call them players niggers.
Yeah, he said Sunday the alleged racist comments were just trying to stir up something. My Facebook was hacked, he added. It was a real long time ago. I'm standing by what I did. It has nothing to do with race or anything else.
You and your son and all the Muslims would never ref, because you know what? Everybody else did have problems with this. Guess what? They got their asses out there and refereed the motherfucking games.
0 to 100, Karen.
100.
I would give it 100 as well. Protesters played Mexican folk song La Bamba to drown out neo-Nazi speech at White Lives Matter rally in Tennessee before fascist organizers canceled their second event because only 30 Nazis turned up.
They walk out over there, la 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 Bamba.
These are some weak ass racists, I'm just telling you.
But that's the thing,
the KKK is rolling over in this grave.
Everybody do everything online because it don't require no real work. It's real easy to post comments online and call people niggas online and do all that shit online, but when it come to actually physically put out this, you may have even went to the meeting, but like, yeah, I meet you at the park after y'all finished, but most people are not willing to take their asses out there. That's why, you know, when people talk about Trump, that's why people talking about nobody showed this inauguration. Yeah, because they don't want to be associated with it, but they still support it.
I mean, are y'all a hate group or a dislike group? You know, what are y'all doing out there? This is terrible. At any rate, these motherfuckers went out there and got stuck.
I like La Bamba.
Yeah, neo-Nazi rally in Tennessee was upstaged by Mexican party music on Saturday as anti-fascist protesters used La Bamba to drown out hate speech. Michael Hill, leader of the White Lives Matter rally in Shelbyville, was attempting to speak out on behalf of his 300 followers when between 800 to 1,000 counter-protesters drowned him out with the classic Mexican folk song. Hill, clearly frustrated at seeing the footage, said to the crowd of revelers, "Oh, you can party all you want, you degenerate whores, but we are just getting started." Then he immediately stopped. Well, that's not good. That's the opposite of what you said was going to happen, white man. Ain't that sad.
Yeah, you mean to stop when you look at 39 versus the 800 to 1,000 people that showed up? And that's the thing, a lot of them get out there and you make these announcements and then counter people show up and all of a sudden it becomes a problem.
Almost as if you didn't plan out for any resistance to your white nationalism.
Nope. That's why a lot of times now they starting to do shit like in the middle of the night and shit like that, where they know 1-2 in the morning, they know nobody's gonna take their asses out there.
I guess it's not the same as Reddit. You gotta put on a jacket and leave the actual house,
right, and get off that goddamn computer.
All right, I have the video of him at the rally. Let's see if I can play it for you guys. Make it a little bit bigger for everybody on the screen.
Counter protesters are playing music over Michael Hill speaking.
Oh shit, they're partying.
Can't even hear him. Yes! La La Bamba.
We are the people who
greatest civilization. Y'all so great, y'all can't even get y'all sound system set up right.
That's not, I got a fucking live band.
That's beautiful. That, I love that.
Yeah, they came out there with the, like somebody said, with the church basement PA system. And they were like, oh, word, that's what you got?
Zero for me.
Zero, too.
Zero for me.
Y'all, they were partying hard, too.
Let's move into white people news while I have everybody's undivided attention. Since we got to start getting ready to get on the road in a second, guys. Get out of here so we can make it to Raleigh. And,
I'm excited.
Go see a concert, guys. Go see Living Color in concert.
It'll be my first rock concert. I'm excited.
Yeah. Hope you got the earplugs ready, guys. Everybody told us bring earplugs. So I guess it's going to be super loud. I don't know. But I'll bring some just in case, you know. White people news, guys. Gotta talk about it. But first, gotta play this song.
Oh, that was neat. you can do that.
They have so many ways to appropriate us. And wave them like you just don't care. And if you're like Fisher Grits and all that pimp shit, somebody let me hear you say, oh yeah, girl. Oh yeah, girl. Now that's some good ass appropriation. Am I right, guys?
Nope, boo that man.
Karen, I know you had a good time.
I like the song better than me and Uray Sina. That one, at least that one was jamming.
Okay, Karen, feel like you hating a little bit, but shout out to Travis or whatever his name is. Appreciate him taking the time.
Boo that man,
especially that scratching at the end.
Now that was me. I did like that.
We gotta talk about that Charles man.
You gonna be great with your lavender. Go.
People are officially done with John Kelly after his absurd Civil War comments. John Kelly, the dude that they tried to trot out there as the reasonable Trump general motherfucker, and I was like, seemed like a racist white man to me. And then he lied on Congresswoman Frederica. And I was like, yeah man, fuck this nigga. Well, apparently he came out on Fox News and said some absurd comments about the Civil War. Yeah, I could have told y'all that he was gonna say that. And like, was anybody shocked or anything? I feel like everybody, maybe white people were shocked, because they did trot that out heavy, like he's the general with integrity and he would never say this, that, or the other. And it's like, I don't know. So he lied on a black woman. That seems pretty much the fucking theme of this administration. I don't know why y'all thought he had integrity, but apparently it took him lying about the fucking Civil War for people to say it. He said that the Civil War was caused by a lack of ability to compromise. On what? They never say why, do they? You know, Ta-Nehisi Coates had a great thread on Twitter about it, about like this. One, his comments are absurd, obviously, but two, there's this idea that there wasn't a compromise on slavery before. It was all about compromise. The 3/5 compromise, even, like,
come on, they called it compromise in the law.
Right, America was very complicit as a unit and compromised with slavery the whole fucking time. Abraham Lincoln just said, y'all need to stop expanding slavery. Y'all can have it. He wasn't even an abolitionist. They made him an abolitionist when they were like, we seceding from the country and come get it if y'all want it. And they came and got it. That's it. Really had very little to do with the ideology of abolishing slavery at all. But
right,
you know, I mean, I guess if you see compromise as only white people, then he has point. If you see white people still to this day as the only people who deserve freedom and citizenship, then he does have a point. Because it's like, why y'all so mad over how we treating these niggers? But that's only if you concede that he's literally only thinking of white people, because the white people is just a difference in ideology. You know, it's like,
it's not life and death.
Yeah, it's like asking them to manufacture goods in a different way if you consider black people not human.
Correct.
Anyway, everybody roasted him on Twitter. Whatever. I never fuck with that nigga anyway. Court partially blocks Trump's directive on transgender military ban. Judge in U.S. District Court for D.C. ruled Monday that Trump's directive changed the transgender policy back to what it was before June 2016, and banning new transgender recruits from enlisting cannot be enforced while the case works its way through the court. However, the judge denied the plaintiff's motion to block the ban on funds for transgender reassignment surgery. So he only partially blocked it.
Right.
So that's still fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Three former Trump campaign officials got charged by the special counsel, Mueller, I think is how you pronounce his name. He indicted three of them niggas, and one of them looked like he was snitching, so he sounded like they called him some type of cooperation, proactive cooperation or something. Basically, he might have been wearing a wire or some shit.
Yeah, didn't one of them turn themselves in?
Yeah, all three of them did, but they back on house arrest right now. They had $5 million bail and had the money to be able to pay it. That's amazing.
Of course.
Probably Russian money. How did they pay him? I won't see the denominations they paid.
Rubles, whatever.
Right. I don't know what they got in Russia. Yeah, so he but yeah, they I mean, them indictments cometh, baby. You know, so I mean, we figured this shit was gonna happen. Now, I don't, in a way, I feel good that some people might go to jail. It was obvious that there was some manipulation and cooperation with a foreign power in our country to get this man elected. I still think it says a lot about our country that all they really had to do was stoke the racial white supremacy fires, and enough white people voted for that, regardless of any level of hacking and all that. Enough white people still thought that was a good idea that, you know, they still, I still can't fuck with them over that. Yeah, but
it's an addiction, a hell of a drug.
But yeah, I'm glad that these motherfuckers going to jail. Trump and them trying to downplay everybody's role, like, oh, I barely knew him, he was an unpaid. But it's like, yeah, unpaid means they didn't want money and they didn't need it. And I mean, if you get money from Russia, then yeah, you would do it unpaid too. The thing that hurt me was that the dude that was a snitch, his name is George Papadopoulos, and I immediately thought of Webster.
Aww.
Cause I'm a certain age.
Yes.
I was like, George Papadopoulos, the fuck?
Right?
You raised that black baby to be a good person, you would trade a country like this? And I was like, oh, it's different, George.
Wrong person.
They still naming him after that man. Pat Robertson says Trump, should issue a blanket pardon for indictments. He's gotta shut this down. I would like to issue a statement. Why don't you pay taxes? Because I thought churches wasn't supposed to be, I thought we had a separation of church and state. This motherfucker gets on TV every day and gives his opinion and advice to the Republican Party, and he tells his people that tune into his show to hate Democrats and to support Republicans every fucking day, and yet somehow this nigga don't pay taxes. How's that possible in America? That's clearly a violation of the, anyway. But yeah, he advised Trump to shut this down. I was gonna play the clip, but fuck Pat Robertson.
Yeah, not worth it.
A conservative site funded the project that led to the Trump dossier, the he pee on people Trump thing. Because first they were saying Hillary Clinton paid for it. That's the real collusion. I'm like, wait, she colluded with Russia so she would lose the election?
That makes no sense.
Okay. But two, funding research, opposition research is literally part of, like, that shit is nothing.
That's what you do.
Like, literally, that's nothing. Like, everybody pays for opposition research on the other person. What you don't normally see is people paying, a foreign country. You don't normally see that. And like I said, she took over, allegedly paying this shit, which was news in January. Anyway, she took over paying for this shit after Republicans had been paying for it the whole time. Cause guess what, guys? The Republicans didn't want Trump as president either. They just didn't have a choice cause he kept winning. But yeah, the project to that point focused on researching multiple Republican presidential candidates. It was not looking at the collusion with Russia, which is interesting because after Hillary took over paying for it, they did start looking at collusion with Russia. And if that's the thing that brings down Trump, a lot of people will have owed Hillary for getting this nigga up out of here. Do with that as you will.
Right.
Let's see what else happened. I care about, you know what? Let's move into the nice white people news, guys. It's time. This nice white people news is brought to you by Triangle Wine Co.
Mm-hmm.
Fine wine and craft beer store has a huge selection from all over the world. The Triangle Wine Company, they try and hook you up. Well-known brands, rare finds, small producers. Shop online, have your order shipped, or swing by the tasting bars in their stores in Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, where you can sip while you shop. Visit TriangleWineCo.com to compare their competitive prices and save 10% on your order of regularly priced wines and beer with offer code TBGWT through the end of October. Or take advantage of the limited edition wine pack, Queen Karen Sweet Pear. It's your last day, guys.
Mm-hmm.
This custom wine pack features two bottles of sparkling wine, Just Peachy Refreshing Bubbly from France, and Cantina de Cazorzo Malvasia, sparkling red from Italy. If purchased separately, they cost $25.98. That's a lot. I know some of y'all ain't got that. which is why you can get Queen Karen's sweet pear and save 53%.
Yes, about time they did something good. I will continue to say that.
And pay $12.21 for the pack. The whole pack and nothing but the pack.
And y'all, we've had it. It is delicious.
Search for Queen Karen or browse the wine packs category on trianglewineco.com and the link will be in the show notes. All right. Let's see. What white people news do we have here? An ex bachelor producer sues for sexual harassment. Man, what's going on over there? They're not very good at this thing.
Apparently they're not.
Yeah, she sued, she filed a lawsuit against Warner Brothers and five of the show's producers. Said she was repeatedly asked by colleagues personal questions about her sex life, including, is your vagina shaved? Have you ever fondled testicles before? And during filming with JoJo Fletcher's season of The Bachelorette in 2016. It was a bit of a theme that carried on throughout the season. It was a fun time for them to see me get embarrassed, a 31-year-old told The Times. Her name is Becky Steenhoek. She says that she complained to cast producer Caitlin Stapleton. She was told this is just how it is, and it was brushed off as locker room talk. What locker rooms are people in?
Yeah, that's that and just like black people buy into white supremacy, women buy into patriarchy because she actually went to another woman.
And that woman told her, nah, it's just how they talk, girl. You know how it is. Is your vagina saved or not?
That ain't just how it is. Have you been asked that?
Right. You know what's funny? We do a comedy podcast, and like, under the auspices of comedy, like, there's a lot of shit you can kind of get away with, make jokes about and shit. And I'm not even saying it would be fucked up for us to do it, but you know, all the guests we ever had on these, all the women we've had on the show, all the raunchy, crazy shit we talked about, at no point have we ever been like, so, is your pussy shaved? Would you mind telling us? We think it'd be funny to watch you squirm. It's such a weird thing. Kevin Spacey's in the news.
Trek Discovery actor Anthony has accused Kevin Spacey of making a sexual advance at him when he was only 14. In a response that has sparked huge amounts of criticism, Spacey tweeted his sincerest apology late Sunday night and came out as a gay man. Rap told BuzzFeed News in a story that posted online Sunday that the two met in 1986 when both were appearing in Broadway shows. Spacey invited Rap to his apartment for a party where Rap said he eventually found himself bored and watching TV in Spacey's bedroom. He then realized he was the only one left in the apartment with the actor, who was 26 at the time. Rap recalled that Spacey then appeared and sort of stood in the doorway, kind of swaying. My impression when he came in the room was that he was drunk. Then he picked me up like a groom picks up the bride over the threshold. But I don't like squirm away initially because I'm like, what's going on? And then he lays down on top of me. Rap alleged that Spacey was holding him down while tightening his grip on Rap, who was able to get away after some time. He was trying to seduce me, Rap said. I don't know if I would have used that language, but I was aware that he was trying to get with me sexually. The two later crossed paths at the 1999 Tony Awards, where Rap was performing and Spacey was nominated. He isn't sure if Spacey has any recollection of the alleged encounter. Spacey tweeted a statement late Sunday night in response, apologizing for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. He said he does not remember the encounter, but is beyond horrified to hear Rap's account. He also noted that he's had romantic relationships with both men and women, and he's now choosing to live as a gay man. His statement drew widespread criticism from many who felt his coming out after years of speculation about his sexuality was both ill-timed and inappropriate. Comedian Billy Eichner tweeted, "Kevin Spacey has just invented something that has never existed before, a bad time to come out." Michael Knowles expressed his disgust in a tweet that read, "It took 58 years for Kevin Spacey to cash in his gay out of jail free card." And Dan Savage simply wrote, "I'm sorry, Mr. Spacey, but your application to join the gay community this time has been denied." To read more on Anthony Rapp's allegation.
So a couple things. Obviously, one, the Me Too thing is the streets are flooded with tea. Everybody shit on the timeline, right?
They're kicking all the cups over.
Everybody. No one's safe. Hold on. We got to go to the next section. Give me 1 second, guys. Coming right back on the air.
Okay.
We'll get right back to this. But, yeah, everybody's out there right now, which I find to be interesting because there's a lot of people that we're seeing have been done the favor, quote unquote, not intentionally, and favors in quotes, keep in mind, of silence. You know, it's why they want to be intimidating. It's why they want to tell you not to report your stuff. It's why they want to tell you how they're going to affect your career, and there's all these threats and stuff. Basically, by keeping people silent, you're able to prey on the community for however long.
Correct.
One of the things I thought was interesting in the response to this online was a lot of people going, well, we've always heard the rumors about him and everybody knows, which I was like, one, had not
right.
heard any rumors of pedophilia about him. Mm-hmm. Somebody was like, well, Bryan Singer had sex parties and Kevin Spacey used to attend and there was like child sex at these parties and shit. Once again, never had heard anything about Kevin Spacey. I had heard about Bryan Singer though. Interesting. The second part of that was, I feel like he was able to hide behind being gay in two different ways. Not just in his statement, which obviously conflates being gay and pedophilia, which is fucked up.
Right, that they're not the same.
You being like, yes, I came out to a 14-year-old boy, but it's more about me being gay, right? Guys, I'm finally coming out and you guys can stop speculating. Like, what? Now you be gay and still be like, I'm only fucking with consenting adults. That's two different things. Like,
yes it is.
You know, just like how if R. Kelly was like, well, you know, I'm a straight man. Nigga, you still a pedophile. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right?
You can get the check out of that shit. But the second part of this thing is, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, but because of Hollywood and America's like obsession with people, making people come out, rumors about their sexuality, and feeling like celebrities owe us their sexual orientation, like you need and to come out and let us know, right? But because of that, there's also this like negative insidious like thing of like, oh, this guy's gay, you didn't know, something's wrong with him, John Travolta's gay, what are you hiding, he's gay. And it's always like this kind of like this negativity associated, like we won't see your movies, we won't believe you when you kiss a woman in a script, we won't see you as a straight man whenever you play a straight man in a movie. There's that, right? So there, because of the fact that, and we know for a fact that bigots like to conflate being gay with being pedophiles.
Yes, they do.
All over the world. They're like, oh, this person's gay, they're gonna do something to your kids. This person is trans, they're gonna go in the bathroom and fuck a kid. They're gonna, like, there's all this. So in a way, he was able to hide behind the fact that, at least for me anyway, I don't want to accuse somebody of being gay and quote unquote as an accusation. Like I don't want to use that as like some sort of like, you know, Will Smith is gay. And I'm like, well, what, one, what would it fucking matter? But two,
correct,
why are you saying this in a hushed like type tone, right? And then secondly, you have that, or thirdly, I guess at this point, you have the pedophiling behind there too, where it's like, well, you know, Kevin Spacey's a pedophile. It's like, are you saying that because Kevin Spacey's gay and you are one of those people that thinks gay people immediately, the next thing out of your mind is, out of your mouth is, they a pedophile? Because that's also fucked up. So I wonder if he was kind of hiding behind that all these years, where it's like, well, Kevin Spacey is known as hush hush, he has this huge secret, there's all these rumors. And to a lot of people, the secret and the rumor is, oh, Kevin Spacey's gay. Well, you know how it is in Hollywood. He probably doesn't want to come out. He don't want to deal with all that. No. The actual secret is that he's a pedophile and he abuses young boys. Oh, well, that's a totally fucking different level of secret. You know what I mean? But I saw people saying that on Twitter, like, no big deal. Everybody already knew. I'm like, I don't know if everybody already knew. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe everybody literally was walking around like, this nigga a pedophile, and it was just an open secret and everybody, I really have never, maybe I'm late on this joint. I don't know.
I'm 2000 and late then.
I have never heard it's a open secret that he's a pedophile thing. But him trying to come out and say, I'm out, so let's pay attention to the fact that I'm gay now. Nah, nigga. You don't get to do that. So, but yeah, people been collecting his ass anyway. So I think, House of Cards is ending now.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they finished or
they got one more season. But, I don't know if they're filming
one more season and then that's it. And
right.
Me and Roger was talking about this. I was like, yeah, this nigga calls everybody their job, because you got staff and crew and other actors who knows how long they had planned, you know, the series out. But he basically abruptly cut people's paychecks.
Yeah, I mean, well, this,
I
mean,
it's when they hire,
I don't really think, I don't really think about it that way, because he didn't really do shit. He been did this action. This happened a long time ago. So, and then the victim, Anthony Rapp, does, you know, he didn't do this to end Kevin Spacey's career. You know, this is the Me Too type thing to say, hey, this thing happened. One thing that will be interesting in the outcome for this is if he'll be treated differently than men who have done the victimized women, because there is an extra level of he's gay, so he gotta go even worse, like, ugh, I'm disgusted he's gay and he a pedophile, as opposed to just, you know, he's straight and a pedophile. Well, that's different. I mean, hey, he was only victimizing women, you know, that type of shit. I wonder if there'll be a difference in the response, but
we'll see.
In general, white man, I don't think he getting canceled.
I'm not saying nobody gets canceled.
Every time I see that fucking Daddy's Home 2 trailer with Mel Gibson on, I just keep thinking, what a motherfucking white dude gotta do to get canceled around here?
Come on!
You know, so I feel like he'll still be around, but, yep, someone said Netflix pulled it, so I don't know. What I heard was that this ending after this season.
Right, I heard this was the last season. Yeah. They had planned on going beyond it, but they was like in the middle of filming, so mm-hmm. They was like, oh, that's it.
Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber were spotted together days before The Weeknd and her broke up. Selena Gomez, 25, and The Weeknd, 27, have now ended their relationship. Damn.
I know, right?
She and Abel have been going back and forth for a few months about their relationship. It's been hard for him with him being on tour and her shooting in New York. That wasn't easy on them. While they always made an effort to attend the show, while she always made an effort to attend the shows when she could, that played a part in them getting distant. It's over now, but they're still in touch. The breakup also hasn't been easy on the couple. It's been hard for them to come to the realization that this is the direction things are heading, but it's been hard for months. And she was spotted spending time with Bieber, who she dated off and on in 2011-2015 over the weekend. The duo attended church together and were photographed by TMZ grabbing breakfast at a cafe in Westlake Village. Ooh. He trying to get that church pussy. That's sad. It's a low, underhanded thing he did there, Justin.
He done went all white now. He all white.
I done reformed my life, girl. Come to church with me. Mm-hmm. I know that move.
Yeah, his head was backwards. He took it and turned it forward and... I mean, frontward and straighten up his tie. He good to go now.
She looks distressed. Shocked viewers flock to Twitter to slam Adam Sandler after he repeatedly touches Claire Foy's knee, leaving her appearing to squirm. Adam Sandler apparently was on a TV show where he was being interviewed, and it was one of those things where they have like a bunch of people sitting on the couch together and they're talking to all of them. Well, he apparently repeatedly touched British actress Claire Foy during a chat show, appearing to leave her squirming with embarrassment. As the fallout from Harvey Weinstein scandal continues, the comedian 51 was criticized for his gestures during Friday night's Graham Norton show. The American actor was seen resting his hand on the knee of British Claire Foy, 33, leaving her looking distinctly uncomfortable. Let me see if I can play this for y'all. It's only a 33-second clip, but listen, these white women fed up.
Fed all the way up.
All the way up. Like, well, everything.
I got nominated for Golden Globe, too. So it took my parents... Just like you. I took my parents, they kind of actually, they invited themselves. But anyway, I remember my mother just gets excited, like your mom, to talk to people or see people or scream. What is that? So somebody gave my mother the thing.
We don't
like,
see
if
it.
You're going to
play. Oh, y'all can't somebody, see it? Mm-mm. I'm sorry, guys. I thought I was showing it. That's right, because we went to a new session. Give me 1 second, I'll show y'all my screen. But, when y'all see the gesture, y'all see what I'm talking about. But I do find this interesting, because this might be a case of the internet being more mad than the actresses. Let me know when it's on screen and I'll replay it. But there's three women on the panel, the interviewer, and then the two, I think Emma Watson was there. Then Adam Sandler and this other woman. Is it on screen?
Yes.
All right. Here's what it looked like.
Hey, for Golden Globe, too. So I took my parents, just like you. I took my parents, and they kind of actually invited themselves. But anyway, I remember my mother just gets excited, like your mom, to talk to people or see people or screams out, is that? So somebody gave my mother the thing, like, if you're going to point at somebody, do it like the point in a different direction, and we'll follow the thumb to who you're pointing to.
That was it. And so viewers of the show were the people that upset. They Emma Thompson, that's who it was, not Watson, was also a guest on the show, and they have really broken this down. Appears to glare at Sandler throughout the awkward encounter. Did you pick that up, that she was glaring at him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be honest with y'all, that shit looked like it wasn't a big deal to anybody there. I mean, maybe if somebody would talk about it on their own,
right,
or something, like
ask
there was a tweet
directly,
or something, if the
right.
It, like, it's very much one of those things where it's like, if the women that he did it to got offended, I'd understand, but if people watching at home got offended, it's one of those, like, I don't know what to tell you if they not offended. Because then they did a playful, like, she put his hand on his lap, then he put his hand back, then she put his hand on his lap again, like, and they were laughing about it being awkward. So I don't know. I think, but that's how heightened I think the Weinstein thing is at this point. And rightfully so.
Correct.
You know, honestly, I think this is a great example of why Woody Allen's comments were so ridiculous. Nobody's sitting around like, and now we need to cancel Adam Sandler's career, and we should cancel it just because of the quality of his movies, and we still haven't canceled it.
Come on, the Tyler Perry of white folks movies.
Right. Sandler, a married father too, appeared oblivious to what was happening as he regaled the audience with a story. To make matters worse, he also touched the leg of double Oscar winner Emma Thompson, 58, as co-star in the new Netflix Meyerowitz Stories. Yeah, stunned viewers took to social media to voice their concerns about Sandler, the star of The Wedding Singer and Grown Ups. One viewer wrote, Adam Sandler touching Claire Foy's knee for no reason. She put his hand back, then he does it again. He looks really pissed off. She looked really pissed off. Did she look pissed off? I don't know. I'm always not picked up on it.
I didn't pick up on that either.
Another felt very uncomfortable watching Adam. But you know what else this is? This is probably a bunch of women who've had shit done to them, those microaggression type things that were like, fuck this shit.
And she's at work, so she's like, I don't want to make a scene because I'm actually being no
right.
camera.
She could have been pissed off.
Correct.
And she may have had to play it off like, ha ha ha, and maybe she really was pissed off, but I guarantee a lot of women have had to make that choice.
Right.
Like, okay, I don't like how this person's touching me, but we at work, or this is my boss, or this is some
I don't want to make a scene, so right. I'm not dismissing their anger. You know, their anger is valid.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Emma, 58, recently said that Weinstein was the top of the ladder of the system of harassment and belittling and bullying. However, on Sundays, a spokesman of Foy said she had not been offended by Sandler touching her leg. A spokeswoman for Foy said, we don't believe anything was intended by Adam's gesture. It has caused no offense to Claire. Yeah, I think people at home were more offended on her behalf, kind of.
You know, like you say, it's these microaggressions, and sometimes, like I said, it's stuff that people do they don't even think twice about.
Right.
You know, because a lot of people do this, and, you know, I know for me, I will ask, like, for some people, like, if I hug you, I'll be like, can I hug you? Or is it okay if I hug you? I used to didn't be like that, but I am like that because some people don't like to be touched, and you have to respect those boundaries that people have.
Yeah, I don't like strangers touching me, really, but if it's somebody I know or somebody that knows me, it's not a thing.
Correct.
But if, like, and same thing back, like, if you're my friend, I'll put my hand on your shoulder or,
right.
you know,
I've
stuff
done that
like
before
that,
too.
You know, but, if someone told me they weren't comfortable with it, I wouldn't do it, you know.
Same here.
And sometimes I will ask because, you know, especially if it's our first time meeting, I'm like, mm-hmm. what do you do? You hug? Do you not hug? Do you handshake? Will you pound? Like, I ain't trying to just run up on you and make you uncomfortable, but, you know, especially because of what we do for a living, people come up to us all the time that are like, they feel like they know us. So
correct.
It's like, you know, I respect, like, yeah, you can, I'll hug you. It's cool.
Yes.
Like, but yeah, it just depends on the situation. All right, we got to start wrapping up. I was going to do another one, but Harvey Weinstein got banned from the Producers Guild of America for life. So I guess that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And Rose McGowan got arrested for felony possession of a controlled substance.
Oh, shit.
which makes sense because she did say them drugs made her say that racist shit. So I mean, I guess she was telling the truth.
Not paying the show.
All right, was there anything else? Mark Halperin got his contract canceled over harassment allegations. Yo, that shit is the whitest story ever. And guys, I'm not saying this pejoratively. I legitimately don't know who this fucking dude is. I don't know what I would have needed to have been watching to know who the fuck he is. And it's been super big news, and especially along my political black people circles. I don't know who the fuck he is. Mm-mm. Like, I didn't, and I guess in true ignorance, I didn't even bother to look him up. I'm not reading that article, so fuck it. So anyway, he white and he fucked up and lost everything. Good. Bye.
No.
You know, like, stop harassing people. How hard is that to not do? You know what I mean? Like, good grief. Motherfuckers really be, let me see them titties. Why? We at work. What is wrong with you?
Correct. What is wrong with you?
All right, guys. Sore ratchet this time, and we're going to get out of here. As soon as I can find it, where do I put it? Okay, is this moving slow? Or is it moving too fast?
Where did
it
go?
Oh, there it is.
Tomorrow, recap of The Walking Dead.
Yep, at 7. Some father on son violence coming down the pike of sword ratchetness.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. A sword wielding son attacked his own motherfucking daddy. Mm-hmm. The Metawachia police have arrested a 22-year-old youth who has attacked his father with a sword. The father was a retired police officer, and he is now receiving treatment from the hospital. Suspect was the retired police officer's son from the first marriage. After his first wife died, the officer married again, this time with a teacher, but his son was the one giving lessons.
Apparently so.
However, investigators revealed that his son suspects that the father had killed his mother in order to marry his stepmother. The suspect has always quarreled with his stepmother, citing the death of his mother. Due to constant quarreling, the father has moved to the Nyeriakulam school's quarter where his present wife works, after handing over the house to his son. Damn. He was like, well, just take the house then. Police said the retired police officer was having a small business, and he had stored his goods in that Metawachia home. When he visited that place with two others to collect the goods, the son had attacked him with a sword. He sustained cut injuries to his head. The son, who was found to be mentally unstable person, was produced before the courts and then released on bail.
I'm assuming this is not in the United States, but them names.
No, and he was released on bail even though he was found mentally unstable and in possession of a sword.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot, dog. All right, man, we'll be back tomorrow with Jeremy from Crown of Collars to discuss The Walking Dead. Appreciate y'all for tuning in to our daytime edition.
Yes, and we thank you for everybody tuning in to the Black Guy Who Tips morning show.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate y'all. Really looked out for us.
Y'all the real MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Taking y'all lunch break with us.
We're gonna get you through this rush hour, hopefully. Got you through traffic and through lunch. Take us out, Avril Lavigne.
I know. Singing radio head at the top of our lungs with the boombox blaring as we're falling in love. Gotta follow whatever, but it's got in my strength. Singing
here's to ever growing up. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Peace.
Until then,
have
I love you.
Have a good one. Love you too, baby.
Mwah. I don't think we'll ever change.